Matthew. Children, you are dismissed to junior church. Thank you for your attentiveness. We have such fine children here. I appreciate all you bringing your kids to church. It is a privilege to serve and to be alongside them. They're wonderful kids. Matthew, chapter number 19. If you didn't bring a Bible, please feel free to grab one out of the pew rack or grab your phone. Be fine. Matthew, chapter 19. First book of the New Testament is Matthew, chapter 19. And we're going to start reading in verse 13 real quick, 13, 14, 15, to kind of get us started today. We're looking at Matthew chapter 19, Matthew 19. If you all found it, say amen. Amen. All right, let me read it out loud. Just follow along with me. Verse 13 says, "Then were there brought unto him little children," speaking of they brought him to Jesus, "that he should put his hands on them and pray." And the disciples rebuked him, rebuked the people who were bringing their kids. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." I want you to focus on that phrase, "of such is the kingdom of heaven." Let us pray. Father, we love you, and we are thankful that you have revealed yourself to us and given us the title Father for us to understand, that we're in a relationship with you in that way. And God, we can relate to that, and we thank you for that. And we recognize, God, that it was your love that motivated you, your love for us that motivated you to interact with us, to send your son to die for us, to give us grace and hope and mercy and peace and all the promises. And Father, as your children, we just say thank you. You loved us first, and Father, our only response is we love you back, and thank you, God. Now, if there's one among us today who's lost, who's yet to trust Christ as our Savior, this is an important day for them. I pray, God, you'd make your message clear and that they may have the courage and conviction to be saved. And Father, for us, your children, grow us to be like your son, Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love reading books with pictures. I don't know about you. I do. I like pictures. Are pictures cool or what? Yeah. The picture's worth a thousand words. It really is. I mean, I even like the picture Bibles. You know what I'm saying? For children, you think, well, they're just written for children. Yeah, but a picture's worth a thousand words. I mean, my Bible doesn't have any pictures. Well, and I asked somebody one time, why aren't there any pictures in the Bible? And my preacher said, nobody had a camera back then. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But I do. I love pictures. And I love children's books because children's books are full of pictures. They relate and some of the artwork is impressive in the way they can communicate emotions. But my all-time favorite children's books are the pop-up books. You know what I'm talking about? You open it up and the things pop up and you can physically interact with the nobody does that but me. I mean, nobody else does that, but yeah, it's cool stuff, right? Because sometimes on a page, I have little tabs, and you'll move it, and the picture will change, and it's so cool. And I'm always like, open to see what it looks like. You know, is it going to do that every single time? You know, and I love it. I love pictures, you know, because you can look with your hands as well as your eyes. Nah. And you say, well, they're written for children. But have you noticed that children don't look at the world the way we do? They don't. To them, the world was black and white. And for some of you are too young to remember the days when TVs only came in black and white. Anybody? 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 I remember going in front of Sears and Roebuck. They had this big picture window, and they had a color TV set. It wasn't one of these little things. It was in a big, gigantic, honking piece of furniture. Remember those TVs? Mama's caught fire in the front living room, and it burnt holes in the carpet. Yeah, I was sitting there watching Captain Kangaroo as smoke was pouring out the back. And she just came in. I'm like, well, you know, it's dinner and a show. But I remember the first color TV set, man. We were in tall cotton, boy, as a family. We had color TV. Because pictures move us. Pictures speak to us. Children, have you ever watched a child eat fruit? Huh? Oh, yeah. It's kind of cool. It's kind of mesmerizing because every bite is an experience. How many of you handed them a slice of lemon? Come on now, let's admit our sin. Because, yeah, you know what I'm saying? In their face, kind of. Some of you have never recovered from that. I can see somebody handed you a piece of lemon, and you're just like, resting lemon face. That's what we'll call it. No, smile. The pain will be over soon. But seriously, kids are funny. They just, everything, every blade of grass, every piece of dirt. Do your kids eat dirt? It's all right. We had a 5-second rule. Actually, it got extended to 15 seconds at my house. We do not throw away meat. We do not throw away candy. I mean, if it's on the floor and it's still, we can wipe it off, it's good. I mean, you know, you think about it. You have your first child. Remember when you had your first child and everything had to be clean and sterilized. And if it fell on the floor, you boiled it because of it. Yeah, 4 kids later, we're like, here, just stick it in your mouth. I mean, for the first kid, we got stacks of photos. I don't know that we got one for Ben. I don't know. I just, last time I checked, it's the one he uses on his profile, so that's what's on my phone. It's my kid. Huh? But kids see the world with all 5 senses. They hear, they feel, they touch, they taste. They have to touch it, then they have to put it in their mouth. Why? Because it's an experience. The world is new. The world is amazed and amazing. And I think sometimes you and I, we forget that. We've let life jade us. We let life get in our way. You know, God uses pictures in the Bible, word pictures, to try to explain things to us because we're his children. And he knows that pictures do make an impact if you can put that visual thing in your mind. In Ephesians chapter 5, he uses marriage to illustrate our relationship to him. We are the local New Testament church. We are the body of Christ, yes, but we're also the bride of Christ. And so just as Christ met our needs selflessly, he uses that picture for marriage when he says in Ephesians 5 that the husband is to love their wife, even as Christ loved the church. He did that because it's a picture. Yes, in verse 23 of Ephesians 5, it says that, you know, the husband's the head of the wife, even as the Christ is the head of the church. You know, my mom and dad, they loved each other. They were devoted to each other. My mom was devoted to my dad. My dad loved my mom, and together they made a great couple. My dad was the big picture thinker, the optimist, the glass is half full, it's going to be all right. He'd say, it's going to be all right. That's what my dad would say all the time. And my mom, the most aggressive argument I've ever heard my mother have was, now, Tom. And my dad go, yes, Pain. That's what he called her, Pauline. And that was it. That was as rough as it got. And they were great together. And it made me want to have a relationship like that. And I have a relationship like that. What's crazy is it's made my kids want to have a relationship like that. My boys all want to marry a girl. Praise the Lord. But they want to have a relationship like that, where they're a couple, they're a team, they're together, they're equals. My dad wasn't worth shooting without my mother. He really wasn't. And I'm not worth shooting without Mrs. Mix. I understand that. And I think God uses that family picture. See, kids get God. I don't know if you realize that or not. Children get God. They understand it. You tell them there is an all-powerful being that made everything, and he loves you. And the kids go, cool. They get it. I mean, you talk to little Eliana, you talk to other kids in the church, they're like, yeah, they get it. They don't complicate it. Somehow we as adults complicate these pictures God gives us. God uses, I mean, my dad was not a Bible scholar, but his lessons are still teaching me. I remember God uses the picture of yeast and how it the chemical reaction of dough, how a little yeast will permeate the whole lump of dough and make the whole thing rise. I remember I have images in my head of my mom and her red and white checkered apron, and she would be kneading dough, and my mom was one of those German ladies that had Schwarzenegger arms. I mean, she would throw 2 cups of sugar in a bowl with a stick of butter, and man, she'd turn that thing into dough. I mean, it was incredible. But I have pictures in my head of her kneading dough, and then she'd reach over in this bowl that had a towel on it, and she'd pull this little piece of dough from yesterday and throw it in, and she'd make it. And she would tell me about, I'd say, what is that, Mom? And she said, well, that's yesterday's dough. And I'm like, really? She said, this is what makes it rise. And she'd roll it together, and she'd say, it's like magic. And she'd knead it together, and she'd put them in bread pans, and then she'd set them up on the windowsill with a paper towel on top of them. And they didn't look like nothing, but, you know, just logs of dough. But after a while, you'd come back and you'd see it start to rise. And then by the end of the day, the paper towel is sitting up high because the bread had raised up. And God uses pictures like that. Even though my mother was not a Bible scholar, she taught me that. Still, it teaches me today. See, in the phrase, of such are the kingdom of heaven, children get it. They get God. They understand God. They don't complicate things like we do. They're cool with this idea. And the truth is, brothers and sisters, we got to stop being so grown up when it comes to our relationship with God. We complicate it. We make it hard. We're the ones who tie a performance review to our relationship with God. God didn't do that. You and I did that. I'll never measure up, or I got to work harder, or I've got to do more. I've got to try harder. And you fill in the blank. That didn't come from God. We have complicated that. In John 3, we find out that we become children of God the same way our children become ours, through natural childbirth. In John 3, Jesus is speaking to the most religious guy you could think of. His name was Nicodemus. And by Nicodemus' own performance standards, he was right with God in his mind. He was right with God. He was right with the people around him. His performance was impeccable. But Jesus still looked at him in verse number 3 and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus, he's tracking. Nicodemus is tracking this picture of human childbirth. Because in verse 4, he goes, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He's tracking. See, salvation is not something you do. Salvation is what God does to you because of what God does for you. You know, I'm going to blow your mind for a second. When you were born, you didn't do anything to help. Can I get an amen from the moms in the room? The babies didn't do nothing to help. Actually, they made it harder. Right? Right? You had to do all the birthing. When a person is born again, God does all the birthing. That's it. It's not about doing. It's what's done. And see, kids, get that. Look at Mark chapter 10. Look at Mark chapter 10 and verse number 13. Mark 10 and verse 13. "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked them that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you," now he's pointing at his disciples and the other people in the crowd, "whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Have you trusted the Lord as your Savior? Do you remember where you were? Do you remember what it was like? We'll touch back that on in a minute. But you know, we not only become God's child the same way our kids become our kids, we remain God's child just like your kids are your kids. I went to my mother one time and I said, "Mama," I said, "Mom, when do you stop worrying about your kids?" She looked at me and said, "How old are you?" I said, "I'm 34. She goes, "I'll let you know." Right? We're always God's child. Reality TV has messed with God's concept of the family. That daytime TV stuff is garbage. You cannot unscramble an egg. It doesn't matter what your kids grow up to be like or how they turn out. They're still yours. Even if they become, God help me, cat people. Versus dog people, yeah. Did you catch that one? Hey, even if they're dog, I'm serious. Think of the most heinous thing you can think of. They like have gerbils or something. I mean, still, they're yours. They're yours. What makes you think you could lose your relationship with God? You're not the one that saved you. If you're not good enough to save yourself, what makes you think you're good enough to keep it? God does all the saving. God does all the keeping. See, children understand that. You know, when you see a child run around this church and they just run up and grab you by the leg, they already know they're loved until you treat them differently and they think something different. What happened to us as Christians? Why is it you look up to heaven and think nobody likes you up there? Where did we get the crazy idea that God is somehow angry with you and hates you? I've fallen short. Welcome to the human race. Life didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. Welcome to the human race. Think about it. Think about your life. You think God was surprised that it happened? Our life, look, we're sinners. We live in a sinful world. And things get messed up. But God loved you the way he found you. Now, it's true, God loves you so much he's not going to leave you the way he found you. But he loves you just like he found you. Who taught you that you're not loved? Just now, before we had church, two or three little kids run up and grab me by the leg and Paul or Pat Paul or Pastor, however they say Pastor, you know, they come up and they go hug me. You ever had a little kid like that run up to you and go? That feeling you get in your heart when a child goes like this. The Bible word for that is favor. Do you understand? That's how God sees you. When he looks down at you, his heart swells with favor. I remember holding my firstborn child. Looking down into that little face, something changed in me at that moment. And for a moment, I saw the world the way God does. But somewhere along the lines, we have lost sight of that idea of how God loves us. Yeah, God still loves us. God knows you, and he still loves you anyway. Isn't that cool? God knows you. He knows your mess. He knows your failings. And he still loves you. Amen. We have complicated things where children get it. Children just get God. Of such is the kingdom of God. You're God's by blood. By the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18, we know we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold. You didn't buy your way into God's family. That's man-made religion. But with the precious blood of Christ, God loved you so much, he was willing to sacrifice himself, his own son. You know, we need to get back to that childlike faith. Amen. We got to get back to that. You know, we need to trust God like our kids trust us. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 31. We need to get back to trusting God like we trusted our parents or like our kids trust us. Look at Matthew 6 and verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? How many times has your kid walked in the door from school, little 8-year-old monkey, look like you, and walks over, opens the refrigerator and goes, okay, just checking to make sure you took care of business. How many times you walk in the dining room and they got the mail and they've opened up your bank statement, you know, just making sure you're taking care of business. Huh? Isn't that crazy? But isn't that what we do to God? We lost sight of the fact that God can take care of you wherever you are. God can provide, and God has promised to do so. That's why he says, this is what the lost people think of. Verse 32, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. I can't tell you how many times, hundreds of times over the past almost 30 years, one of my sons would say, Mama, I can't fit into these jeans anymore, and I've outgrown them. And she'll say, well, reach up on top, the top shelf, there's the next size. I knew you were going to need it. And she had it ready. You and I somehow think when we look to heaven like God ain't got his stuff together. Do you see what's going on? do you understand what's happening here? I'm just checking in on you because, man, I want to see a bank statement, you know? We got to get back to that childlike faith. Amen. Because kids get God. Kids get God. They're not concerned because someone greater than them is in charge. There's not one time God has ever failed us. Not one time. Yeah, well, this happened to me. I don't know about you, but I'm my own worst enemy. If I'd stop making messes in my life by doing things contrary to God, how many messes would I actually have? Very few. Very few. God's never failed us. You know, my kids are funny. When they were little, they'd say, Daddy, can we get one of these? And I'd say, well, baby, I want to get you one, but, you know, I don't have the money. Well, just pull out that magic card. You know, you just kind of, and it appears right on the counter when you just, because they think Dad's got all the resources in the world. You know, your Heavenly Father does have all the resources in the world. He really does. There's no shortage on the bank of heaven. There really is no place where God cannot reach or God cannot provide. Our children know this about us and they trust us. And why don't we trust God? We put more trust in Amazon. Kids get the concept of asking and receiving. Have you noticed that? Take your Bible, look at Matthew 7. You're right there in 6, look at 7. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you. My kids understand prayer and supplication when they were little. Do you realize they're adults now and they're still giving me their Christmas list? Just want to let you know, Daddy, I'm thinking about this. I could really use this. Well, it's kind of helpful because we don't know what's cool anymore. So if you just kind of take a picture of it, send it to me, you got a better than average chance the old man's going to get it for you. Huh? But we don't treat God that way. Why don't we ask God for things? Your prayer life has gotten too grown up. You think that when you pray, it's somehow got to mimic the Mormon Tabernacle Choir in its elegance and its majesty, or God doesn't hear. That's foolish. God hears your prayers. You need to stop being all grown up in your prayers. You need to talk to your Heavenly Father. He just wants to hear from you. He doesn't care if you've got it, if you're not good at talking. He just wants to hear from you. Back in Arkansas, we lived in this place called Gravel Ridge. It was a sweet spot right between Jacksonville Air Base and Sherwood, Arkansas. And on the way home from church was a Little Caesars and a Sonic. Boy, it's heaven. It's heaven. All right, we need a Sonic in this area, bad. But anyhow, so on the way to church in the afternoon, it was happy hour. So it was a dollar drink. All right, and my kids would go, we'd be pulling up to the light, and we're going to turn left. Sonic's right there in the corner. They'd go, Sonic, Benjamin, say Sonic, Daddy, can we go to Sonic? Oh, sure. Kids get God. Then on the way home, they learned supplication. The word supplication means to ask with earnestness. So as we're coming up, we're coming home from church on a Sunday night, and we're chatting about what we're going to eat. And in the back, I hear, pizza, 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 pizza. Can we stop it? Pizza, pizza. Daddy, they didn't call it Little Caesar, do it. Pizza, pizza, right? From the commercial. They knew how to supplicate. They knew how to ask, and they knew how to receive. In Luke 18, he talks about the unjust judge and how the unjust judge would not, the poor widow couldn't bribe him. So she kept coming to his office every day and just sitting on the front and filing paperwork every day. Justify me, justify me, justify me, justify me. And finally, the unjust judge says, I got to get rid of this lady. She's wearing me out. So he tried her case and ruled in favor of her. But then Jesus goes on to say in Luke chapter 18, how much more will your Heavenly Father who loves you give to them that ask? Amen. You know, we need to stop being so grown up in our prayers. We need to start asking. because kids get it. You know, we need a desire to spend time with our Heavenly Father just like our kids used to when they were little. I remember Saturday mornings, little pitter-patter coming down the hallway, and they'd burst into our bedroom and jump on the bed. Daddy, Daddy, let's go do this. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy's home. Daddy's home. And sometimes when I'm at work, and the old boy would say, can I call Daddy? And she'd let him call me, Daddy, when are you coming home? I want to spend time with Daddy. I want to be home. Of such is the kingdom of God. You remember back when you got saved? When you trusted Christ as your Savior and that weight of sin came off your heart and you're like, oh, I'm heaven bound, I'm God's child. And you were excited. You were actually excited about going to God's house and being in God's word and being around God's people. And then what happened? We got all grown up. All dignified somehow. You know, kids get God. Children in Jesus' day knew who he was, and they were good with it. In Matthew 21, as he enters into to Jerusalem, they're all, the children are shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. The children were shouting. And the old, you know, amen pew from the temple were like, shut those kids up. And Jesus like, no. No, if they be quiet, the rocks will cry out. Do you understand? They get it. You don't. We got to get back to that, brothers and sisters. Somehow we've gotten too cool for Christ. We got too dignified for Christ. Have you ever noticed that when your children are little, they greet you at the door differently than your teenagers do? Toddlers come running. Ah, Daddy's up. And they come in and grab me by the leg and they'll sit on my shoe and I'll have to walk them into the kitchen to see what's going on. Remember that? Adolescents, they shout, yeah, I'm back here. Come over and give you that side hug. We're good, we're good. Preteen, they wait for you to come find them. Right? Because they got their stuff. Teenagers go, sup. Very different responses when I walk through the door. See, from the time I was born until I was about 11 or 12, my dad was my hero. But somewhere around 13, he became the village idiot. And I couldn't understand what he was saying. It's like I entered a tunnel. And he couldn't understand what I was saying, and I couldn't understand where he was saying, and I couldn't get a fix on him, and he couldn't get a fix on me, and it was like you know, we were like dissonance. Him talking was like nails on a chalkboard, and like I said, he was the village idiot. You realize that man never had a credit card or debt. About the age of 25, I came out of the teen tunnel, and my dad was a genius. It's like he got a brain transplant. I don't know what happened to the man I was with during my teen years, but man, was he smart. 5 years later, he passed away, and I still wish, last 26 years, I wish he could be around to ask him questions. But you know, I was too embarrassed of my parents. You know, everybody else's parents were young and healthy and were active. My parents, I was born very late in life. My dad was 51 when I was born. So my parents came to all my activities with a walker or a cane. Yeah, I was kind of embarrassed. Why? Because I was shallow and because I was a stinking teenager like everybody else's. And I had gotten too dignified or too whatever to get the fact that I had a blessing in my life. See, little kids get God. They're not embarrassed of God. You want God to answer a prayer? You get a 5-year-old to pray for you. Get a 5, 6, or a 7-year-old and pull them aside and say, listen, we want to see Uncle So-and-so saved. Once you start asking God, they believe God's going to do it. They keep asking. We were praying for my brother, and my boys would be saying, has he gotten saved yet? Because, you know, we've been asking. That's the way they act. That's the way they pray. Because kids get God. What happened to us? What happened to us? It's like we don't believe anymore. It's like we don't trust anymore. It's like somehow somebody convinced us he doesn't like us anymore. When that is not true. God has not changed. I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. Is it because we're embarrassed of him? How did we get embarrassed of God? Are we embarrassed to be identified with him? Are we too sophisticated to be named after his name? Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. I kind of got to remind myself of that when I'm out and about. And someone doesn't appreciate the fact that I'm a Christian and I'm serving the Lord. This is the adulterous and sinful generation. I would rather be labeled with God. I'd rather stand with God. Are you embarrassed to shout amen? Are you embarrassed to use the altar? You realize tears are just liquid prayers. You understand that, right? Kids are not afraid to use the altar. Kids aren't afraid to come forward and pour their soul out to God. They're not too sophisticated because they get God. So let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready to curl up in God's lap and just talk to him? Are you ready to come back like a child and just believe? No one in heaven looks down at you with condemnation. No one does. God loves you. It's our own silly foolishness that has convinced us that we have somehow grown past his favor. When's the last time you curled up in prayer and said, Daddy, hold me. Daddy, it's me. Daddy, it's me. It's me. I've been foolish. I've been in my own world, and I miss you. It says, of such is the kingdom of God. Remember when our kids used to want to go to work with us? They wanted to be around us. They wanted to see what we did, and they would come, and they'd want to be involved in the family business. And since something happened where working around the house with Dad is somehow boring now, they won't do it anymore. Is that how it is with you and God? We've grown up to the point where hanging out with him and doing the things he likes to do is somehow a toil or a drudgery. We're building our portfolios and our future, financial future, but we're losing our families. We're building our careers and losing our children's childhood. Our children will become not what we tell them. Our children will become what we are. And our view of God and our version of God that we live out in front of them, do you want them to lose that awe? That I won't say magical, but they have this view of God that is just pure and perfect. And they know they're loved, and they know if they ask their Father in heaven, their Father in heaven's going to answer, and they know they're protected, and they know that they're cared about. Do you want them to lose that? That's how we lost it. We got so busy in life, and we lost it. And today, it's just a prayer away. It's just a moment where we come back to God. We get over ourselves and we come back to God and we say, God, it's me. Yeah, it's me, Daddy. I want to curl up in your lap and I need to talk to you about some stuff. Stuff that's bothering me. Stuff that's got me concerned. Father, I know you love me. I need some time with you. Are you ready to do that? Because kids get it. Let's not let them lose it. Because they see it in us. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Kids get it. When did we stop? Our gracious Heavenly Father, you truly are the perfect Father. The one who loves unconditionally. The one who gives. The one who stays. The one who keeps. The one who comforts. The one who provides. Hallelujah to the God who saved me. I thank you, O Father. Let us regain that majesty again, our Father. Please speak to every heart and soul in here today. Help us, Father, to shrug off the foolish notions we've taken on and let our hearts just be pure as we turn our face to you. Forgive us of our sin, our lack of faith, our misunderstanding, the way we've treated each other. God, forgive us. And today, Father, we pray that I know you not only forgive us, but you pull us close. And Father, today we ask that you would do just that. Let each person feel your presence and hear your voice. And Father, like a child, we come back to you with our arms held up high, asking to be lifted up again as we were once. And Father, today, if there's one among us that has yet to trust Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, God, please, let them see you're real. Let them see that you're loving and accepting and ready to save if they'll only believe. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Meeks begins to play and sing, I'd invite you to come as families. Come, bring your heart back to the Lord. Take a moment with him. If you're here to dedicate your child today, I'm going to ask you to come and stand on the front pew right here as we prepare for that. But if you're ready, won't you come and pray? It's time to come back and be God's child again. Come back.
Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
Go ahead and get your baby out of the nursery. Go ahead.
I need
Brother Benjamin's bringing up the other children here in a minute. And we'll have a time of dedication and prayer.
Hour,
but in the meantime, please come.
I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are,
there's still time.
Lord, I am free.
There's still time.
Holiness.
Won't you come and give your heart back to the Lord, anew and afresh? God, it's me.
Lord,
I've been foolish, God. I need you.
Oh, I need
you. Like a child coming into the, curling up in the bed of their parents in a stormy night. There's no better way. Just come to the Lord without pretense, without pride.
My righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Teach my song to rise to you when temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one
Our Father and our God, we come today thanking you. Father, you're always there, ready to welcome us home. Always there, Father, to receive us, to lift us up. You have not changed in your love and your devotion, your care, your concern, or your acceptance of us. Father, let us get over ourselves and come back to you as a child, believing, trusting, knowing, comforted, as you've always wanted. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we